runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 693, Windows Autopilot, with guest Michael Niehaus. Recorded Thursday, April 16th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Michael Niehaus, who is the Principal Program Manager on the Windows Autopilot team and part of the Microsoft Endpoint Managing Products. Endpoint is a term we've used a bunch of times. I think it's sort of broader than it's ever been before, what endpoints actually are. Welcome on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Exciting stuff. So what all lives in the space of endpoint management?
I think it's just a generalized term because it used to be that everything was about PCs,
right?
All enterprises cared about. But now we've added in Android, iOS, and lots of other specialized device types. So yeah. Endpoint management is just recognizing that we have all those different types of devices that can all be managed via the Microsoft Endpoint Manager product, which is the combination of Intune, Config Manager, Autopilot, and Desktop Analytics.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. It's, you know, once upon a time, this was just all Active Directory because it was just PCs, but that doesn't work on a phone.
Yeah. Those were the days when things were nice and simple, homogenous. You didn't have to worry about all these different types of devices and operating systems and different management capabilities. But sadly, we now have to worry about all that.
Yeah. None of this is true anymore. So what's Autopilot's role? Is this really like remote device management or mobile device management?
It's more focused on the provisioning side of a device.
Okay.
So if you think about historically how organizations deployed a Windows PC, they would buy it from a manufacturer or a reseller. They would build an image for that specific model or one image and then gather drivers for that particular model.
Right. And this could be through Config for Config Manager, something like that.
Yeah. Typically Config Manager, yeah. MDT, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they deploy that image and drivers out to every new PC that they get into the organization.
Right.
That's not a trivial exercise. Maintaining that image, maintaining those drivers, certifying every model of PC, potentially paying the OEM or reseller to load that image for you so you don't have to do it when the device arrives. All of that cost adds up.
Yeah. And time consuming too, trying to keep it right.
Well, plus it limits your flexibility. So you can't just buy a new PC, have it shipped directly to the employee and have it work.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, it's a process performed by IT before the end user ever sees the device.
Mm-hmm.
And when we looked at that, we said, well, it's kind of putting Windows at a disadvantage because you don't deploy a phone that way. You don't deploy a tablet, say an Android tablet that way. You just take the device, you boot it up for the first time, you use whatever came pre-installed on it, and then you transform it just by configuring what you need to get the device into a productive state.
Yeah.
So we said, well, we should be able to do that same thing with a Windows PC so that it can use whatever the OEM preloads in the factory. It boots up, it goes through a simplified process where you can then get the device joined to Active Directory or Azure AD, enrolled in Intune, potentially co-managed with Config Manager, and then you push the configuration down to the device. Adding your apps, your settings, your configuration, all of that layered on top of that original OEM image.
Interesting.
And that's really the goal with Autopilot, is to enable that end-to-end process where we act as kind of the bootstrapper. How do you get the device into that provision state in a way that's easy enough for the end user to do themselves?
So do I need to have the cloud involved in this at all? Is this something I could be doing in my own environment?
You need to have the cloud, and I would say especially what we've seen over the last couple of months, want to have the cloud.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily have connectivity to your corporate environment.
Right.
Your corporate network is sitting off in a building somewhere. Your user is sitting in their house.
Yeah.
How do you bridge those two?
Well, and it's just the idea that if my employee who's now working from home did buy a new laptop, I would pretty much have to bring them into the office to get it set up for them. You're even suggesting here, maybe I could do that entirely remotely.
Sure.
That's amazing.
And maybe that's drop shipping the device directly from the OEM to the employee.
Right.
Maybe that's they go out to a store and buy one.
Well, try and find a machine right now. You know, like it's tough.
Yeah. You would certainly want to avoid having to double ship the device.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a PC from an OEM or Best Buy, ship it to IT. Have some poor IT person who's locked away in a building somewhere receiving pallets full of PCs, processing them, slapping a new shipping label on them and sending them back out again.
Yeah. I've been that guy. That sucked when there wasn't a pandemic.
Well, and we've certainly seen a lot of photos from customers who are doing that still today.
Yeah.
But they're doing it with face masks. They're doing it in clean room environments. They're doing it in spaces where there are multiple people doing it, but they're consciously trying to stay 2 meters from each other.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot of fun.
No. And the idea that it's unnecessary, that to spend some time with some tools so that I do a single shipment, deliver to where the machine needs to be used. They take it out of the box and they're able to get the company configuration on it.
Yeah. So the whole idea with making that work with Windows Autopilot is from the point of purchase, we can have the device registered with your organization.
Interesting.
Whether it's the OEM or the reseller, they will associate that device to your tenant so that when it boots up for the first time, it already knows who it belongs to.
Right. So how does that happen?
That's really the first place the cloud comes into this picture.
Okay.
That there is a Autopilot service running in the cloud that each device will check into when it boots up for the first time. So if you've got a device running Windows 10, it boots up, it sends a hardware hash that it calculates off to a service saying, basically, do you know me? And that service will come back and say yes or no. If it says yes, what it comes back with is details about the tenant that this device belongs to, the associated user for this device, if it's been pre-configured by the IT org for that particular organization,
right,
and other details about how it should behave. Like what UBI screen should be shown, which one should be hidden, should it join Active Directory, should it join Azure AD.
Right.
All of that is part of that payload that we deliver down to the device once we recognize that it's tied to the organization.
Now, is this actually a feature just Windows 10, that Windows 10, given it's got an internet connection working as it's setting up, just checks to see if there's a configuration it should be using?
Yes, as long as the device is running Windows 10 Pro and above, we always check for that Autopilot registration.
So for me as the IT person ordering machines on behalf of my work for home folks, I don't have to tell the OEM anything particular, like just that we're buying Windows 10 Pro and above or Windows 10 Enterprise, and it'll just happen.
You would provide them with your tenant ID.
Oh, okay.
So that they know what tenant to enroll it in. And there is a one-time authorization process that you as the customer need to go through to give the OEM or reseller permission to add devices on your behalf.
Interesting. So is the OEM actually touching the machine on my behalf before it gets shipped?
They are doing the registration, but that registration is using details about the device that they already have.
Right.
So they could manufacture the device, put it in a box, and while it's in transit, register it.
I see.
And they don't need to physically boot it or touch it. The manufacturing process itself generates the details necessary for them to register the device.
Stuff like MAC addresses or whatever. The thing that makes the machine uniquely that machine.
Yeah, a whole bunch of attributes about the device are merged into that hardware hash.
Right.
Which becomes a unique identifier for the machine.
Right. And then, yeah, so, but it is you do have to tell the OEM at some point, hey, this is my tenant ID. I intend to use Autopilot on that machine.
Right. And they'll know how to set that up. They'll send you the details, basically saying, click this link.
Right.
Have your Azure AD global administrator approve this request. And then after that, they can bulk add all the new devices that you order from them directly into your autopilot list.
But by that token, taking an old piece of hardware and repurposing it with Pro on it isn't going to work.
Well, it could, but in that situation, you as an IT person would need to gather the hardware hash from that machine and register it with autopilot yourself.
Oh, interesting.
So it can still work. And we see a lot of customers doing that for their older devices.
Yeah.
And then shipping them out. So if you've got a storage room somewhere with 1,000 devices in it, and you've now decided you want to use those for remote provisioning, well, great. You just boot up each one, grab the hardware hash off of it, reseal it, put it back in the box, send it onto the user.
Is this a piece of software I run to get the hardware hash?
It's actually a PowerShell script.
Oh, nice.
The Windows 10 has a WMI class that grabs the hardware hash details.
Okay.
So the PowerShell script is a wrapper around that WMI class.
I guess that means if I have a bunch of existing machines in the office and I want to enroll them into autopilot, I can do this with remote PowerShell execution.
You can, sure.
That's awesome.
The other option is if the devices are already deployed and managed, you can have the management tool reach out and grab that WMI data.
Right.
Config Manager has that built into it. Mm-hmm. Intune has a setting where you just check a box and it'll automatically register all the enrolled Windows devices with autopilot because it knows how to reach out and grab that information.
So not just new hardware, but existing hardware as well. And of course, we're only talking about PCs, laptops, so forth. What happens when you get into the Android, iOS, tablets, phones, that kind of thing?
They have similar capabilities. They're just called different things.
Okay.
I mean, the concept is... Well, it's been around for a while. I think Apple started it with their, what was originally the Apple DEP program.
Right.
I forget what DEP stands for, but they've changed the name of it recently, and now I don't remember what the new name of it is. But it was the same idea. At point of purchase, register the device with your organization so that when it shows up, it does the right thing.
Right. And you use your mobile device management.
Android, since then, has added similar capabilities so that you can do zero-touch provisioning of an Android device in the same way. So,
but autopilot is about Windows. This is about being able to manage it.
Autopilot is the Windows implementation of that exact same process.
I saw it. I get that now. So it does live. You still have an ecosystem of this diversity of devices. It feels like with autopilot, you're on a similar footing with your Windows PCs than all these other devices.
Sure. And if you were to go into Intune, which is really where all of these enrollment and provisioning processes converge, you would see that there's a Windows enrollment and Apple enrollment and Android enrollment all right on top of each other in the Intune portal.
Yeah, that's your overall view.
What type of device you're provisioning, you just go to a different place to set it up.
Nice.
The setup's very similar.
Yeah, no, I get that. It makes a lot of sense. And it's just, it seems like you, I'm not going to say catch up, but so much if you've created parity here for the way we manage other devices too.
Yeah, because we recognize that without a capability like that, we're at a disadvantage.
Sure.
We forced you into that expensive way of having to provision the device.
Right. But you do have, you can, and again, I'm thinking about that work from home scenario, which is so prevalent now, that through the cloud, it's going to be able to set up the VPN provider. It's going to be able to get me joined to Active Directory properly and then load the applications on.
Yeah, that's the piece that we've been working on. Like we've always been able to do this completely over the internet with Azure AD.
Right.
Makes sense. It's all cloud-based.
Yep.
Azure AD, Intune, even Config Manager with a cloud management gateway, all of that can be done over the internet. The Active Directory scenario was a little bit more challenging because we can get the device enrolled in Intune over the internet, no problem. Intune can take care of creating the computer account in Active Directory for a new device and send the details of that via MDM back to the Windows PC. The Windows PC can apply it. But it doesn't solve the problem of after the device is joined to Active Directory, how does the user sign in?
Yeah.
Because the user needs line of sight to a domain controller in order to authenticate their credentials.
Right.
It is, after all, an Active Directory joined machine.
Yeah.
So it behaves like an Active Directory joined machine. Authentication is done against a domain controller.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that process to work over the internet, that sign-in process, we've had to add guidance and support for VPN clients.
Right.
So you get the device enrolled in Intune. Intune pushes out, say, Cisco AnyConnect to the device. The software to do it, the VPN profiles that say where to connect to, the authentication requirements. Maybe it uses machine certs for authentication. Intune can push that out device to get it to a point where it automatically make a VPN connection.
Right.
So the device boots up and auto connects, or the user has to manually make a VPN connection, but they can do that through the VPN client's integration with the Windows logon page.
And I'm also thinking about stuff like direct access, although it sounds like you guys are going away from that now.
There originally were discussions about deprecating and eliminating direct access. We've basically backed away from that and said, no, we'll keep direct access around. But in this particular scenario, we don't yet have a way of provisioning direct access.
Oh, interesting.
Over the internet. There's a long, drawn-out technical conversation as to why we can't do that yet. But that's why we focused for our VPN support today on what the larger percentage of enterprise customers are using. They're using third-party VPN clients,
right?
BAT clients, as we call them, the typical Windows installer-based clients that need to be deployed out as apps from Intune that integrate into the Windows logon process to make sure this works.
Same situation for always-on VPN?
We're still looking at that one. We have done testing ourselves with always-on VPN mm-hmm. with this whole end-to-end process, and it works great. Once you get it configured properly.
Right.
The challenge is that piece.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah. Knowing what information, what configuration needs to be in place on both ends, from the client-side VPN profile and the client-side certificate, and then the RRAS or server-side configuration that's needed there. Getting those matching so that everything works properly with some really arcane Windows Server-based things like NDES and Active Directory Certificate Services and Network Policy Server and RRAS, not a whole lot of fun. And it's not a skill set that most IT people have anymore.
No, I think it's very challenging to get that stuff set up. The tough part, of course, is that when you do have direct access or always on VPN working, it's awesome, right? From the user's experience that you're just connected to the business network, they love that.
Yeah.
It's way nicer than most of the third-party VPN client things that are pop-ups and annoying in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and here's a funny story associated with that too. I set up always on VPN myself to
right.
try out with this scenario. And after, I would say, 2.5 days of troubleshooting, tinkering,
yeah.
tweaking, I got it to work.
Yep.
Only because I was able to access Richard Hicks' website,
yep.
which has all kinds of troubleshooting information on always on VPN.
Oh, yeah. No. Richard Hicks was literally on last week. You know, he's my go-to guy.
Such a valuable resource.
He's the guy who knows how to make this stuff work. And I may be the only guy.
Yeah. So we've certainly learned from that experience. We are trying to improve the Intune configuration side of the always on VPN setup.
For sure.
So hopefully we'll be able to get that in there shortly.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But the other side of it, making sure that we have bulletproof documentation on how to get the server set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part that we're missing today.
Yeah, fair.
There's also potentially another variation on that that we want to look at as well, where you can use the always-on VPN client on Windows 10. So the client-side pieces are the same.
Right.
But you can do a point-to-site Azure VPN connection.
Oh, okay.
So you create an Azure service, effectively, that relays the traffic. So you make an Azure site-to-site connection, or you have an existing ExpressRoute connection in place between your corporate network and Azure and then that point-to-site VPN connection via the always-on VPN client is simpler because you just point it at the cloud and say the DNS name for my VPN server is the Azure endpoint.
Yeah, Azure, yeah, VPN gateway.
So we have more work to do on those always-on VPN scenarios just to document all that stuff. But
yeah,
we've certainly worked with customers who have already done the work to get always-on VPN up and running, and for them to leverage that as part of an autopilot over the internet Active Directory join, a hybrid Azure AD join process works great.
And Michael, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. Autopilot is great for remote work. Just drop shit a Windows 10 computer, users log on, download their apps from Intune, and it's off to work. Or is it? Your real challenges begin after users start working. But don't panic, you've got Policy Pack. Policy Pack integrates with Intune and Autopilot so you'll get the power you need during a rollout with Autopilot and MDM. Use Policy Pack to manage deployed applications and browser settings, remove local admin rights, and overcome UAC prompts, block unknownware, and dynamically configure the Windows 10 start screen, taskbar, and file associations. As a bonus, you can use Policy Pack with Windows Intune to transfer any real on-prem Group Policy ADMX, Group Policy Security, and Group Policy Preferences settings to your remote work machines. Learn how thousands of other admins enhance Intune, Autopilot, and remote work configurations with Policy Pack. Come to policypack.com/remotework to learn more. That's policypack.com/remotework. Policy Pack, securing your standards. And listeners to this podcast are eligible to win a free copy of the Cybex Wiley book entitled MDM, Fundamental Security and the Modern Desktop, using Intune, Autopilot, and Azure to manage, deploy, and secure Windows 10 by Jeremy Moskowitz, Enterprise Mobility MVP. Simply pick Run As Radio in the dropdown when you visit policypack.com/remotework. Good luck, and we hope you win. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Michael Niehaus. We're talking about Azure Autopilot and certainly challenges around the networking piece, because that's always the tricky bit. And we talked about this primarily as a provisioning tool. Does it have a role in the longer life cycle as well? What about when you're decommissioning hardware?
We certainly want to do more on kind of the full life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, more of our emphasis is on kind of the offboarding process for that. Like, how do you deassociate this device with
sure.
your organization? How do you get it out of Active Directory
yeah.
and Azure AD and Intune and the Autopilot service itself? So we are doing some work around that.
Cool.
There is one point in the middle, though, that we want to put more emphasis on, and that's break fix. You think about this scenario. Let's say you have a working PC.
Mm-hmm.
You've sent it to your employee at some point. They're using it from home, from the office, wherever. And something stops working. What is your normal mechanism for fixing that problem?
Well,
if it's send the device back to IT
yeah.
and let them work on it and fix it and send it back to you, or if it's remote control the device and try to troubleshoot it remotely,
yep.
those don't work very well over the internet.
It's hard. Yeah, no question.
So what we want to make sure organizations can do is if you have those existing devices, even if they weren't deployed using Autopilot initially, say they were deployed using Config Manager or MDT,
mm-hmm.
set them up in Autopilot so that you can go into Intune and just click the reset button and know that the device that's not working right can reset the OS, start from scratch, and reprovision itself from wherever it happens to currently be sitting.
Okay. Yeah. So basically a pave and rebuild.
Yeah. It's the fallback plan. If I just can't figure out what's wrong with this device, or I don't have the ability to do the remote troubleshooting to figure it out, I don't want the user to have to ship it back to me.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just pave it and start over.
Yeah.
If the data is in the cloud, there's nothing to worry about there.
Mm-hmm.
So OneDrive for Business is a key tool. If the apps can be redeployed from your management tool of choice, whether that's Intune or Config Manager,
yeah.
what have you got to lose? I mean, at that point, you just want to get the user back up and running as quickly as possible.
It's the scorched earth solution, but it's better than I don't know what to do now.
Well, and it saves time overall. Yeah. If I had to ship a device,
that's much longer.
2 days back and forth.
Yeah.
If I just reset it and rebuild it, I could be back up and running within 2 hours.
Yeah. And if it can't, and if it doesn't recover, then it's almost certainly a hardware failure and there's not much you can do at this point. You should send it back.
Yep.
And I noticed you never offered the option of the IT guy goes, you know, does a house call.
Right.
It's kind of the modern, you know, the even idea that we would do that is kind of nuts, but it's kind of almost where we are now. So recovery is interesting.
Yeah, and some people have raised concerns around that to say, well, my user might be sitting in middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They're up in the northern territories of Canada and internet connectivity. How long is that going to take? Well, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
The alternative might be shipping that device 1,000 miles, waiting for someone to fix it and ship it back. Yeah. So, my slow internet connection might mean that pushing that software back to the machine is going to take
hours.
8 hours, 10 yeah. hours, 12 hours, but it's still better than being out for multiple days.
Yeah, what do you do? Ship a replacement machine. I mean, it's multiple days when the new machine gets there.
Right.
I do like this whole automating of onboarding and offboarding of devices, because we're certainly pushing hard on that with staff, that we clean up account, you know, provision accounts and clean up accounts with offboarding. But offboarding PCs always seem like we've never really formalized offboarding well.
Sure. And we've also seen a rise in kind of dedicated providers of that service,
mm-hmm.
refurbishers. I didn't know before I got into this space that there are Microsoft authorized refurbishers. Well, what do? They get devices from enterprises who are disposing of them.
Yep.
They securely wipe them. They load them with a new properly licensed version of Windows 10. And then they sell them again.
Right.
It's a key service.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to tie ourselves into that process too. Because let's say an organization using Autopilot had 1,000 devices registered with Autopilot. They send them to the refurbisher. They wipe them, put a new Windows version on them, and sell them to someone else. Guess what's going to happen when the device gets to the new owner?
Interesting. Because it's still got that same fingerprint.
It's still registered to the old company.
Right.
So if the original owner didn't think to offboard them from Autopilot mm-hmm. before they disposed of them, we need to enable the refurbisher to clean up the mess.
Right.
Otherwise, the new person gets the device and says, I don't work for this company. Why is it asking me to sign on with Contoso credentials?
Yeah, XYZ Corp. And by that token, if the device gets stolen and you haven't deprovisioned it, it's always going to try and reconfigure itself with the company information, which limits its value as a machine.
Yeah, and we've seen that where people have bought PCs on Amazon
mm-hmm.
from whatever random reseller, and it's done exactly that. It's booted up. So they call Microsoft for support, to which they're told, well, that machine's been reported stolen. So
yeah,
maybe you should deal with a different
vendor. And you're currently in possession of stolen property. So your life just got more interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of it now, is that the fact that these computers, and I wonder if this is just going to become the norm for all machines, that they touch the cloud first for their identity. I mean, certainly true of modern smartphones.
Yeah, we definitely want to get there. One of the limitations that we still have for Windows devices is a brand new device coming from the factory,
mm-hmm.
running Windows 10, doesn't require making a network connection.
Right.
So you could, when the device gets to the screen where it asks you to connect via Wi-Fi, just say, no thanks, and it will move on. So you, in that case, only get an option to create a local account.
Right.
So you would bypass all of that checking. So our hope is at some point that we can add that mandatory network connectivity check, which all other platforms already do.
Yeah.
We've had some government compliance challenges around that. So,
well, I mean, there's certain specific cases where machines are just not going to be connected to a network, but that is a very rare exception.
These days, certainly.
Yeah. I think you want to bury that exception so that the few legitimate cases where it exists, they can make it work, but they see it as an exception as opposed to the current default, which is like it's a yes or no in an install.
Yeah, and certainly we have options to enable that for mm-hmm. OEMs so that if they're selling commercial devices and they know that they're going to have internet connectivity, they can force that.
Yeah.
If they know that these are going to be man-in-a-cave PCs, they can turn that off. But right. it would be done at the point of manufacturing, not later points in the process where there are opportunities to bypass those protections.
Absolutely. And not to go too far off the rails here, but I just see a consumer version of autopilot being awesome. What if the average mortal buying a new computer now automatically can maintain their own configuration so that when they replace that machine, stuff carries across? They don't need a lot of experience, knowledge, or discipline to make this stuff work.
Yeah, it's always been a dream. Whether we get to that dream or not, we'll see. But even the simplest behaviors of you booting up a new PC and it already knows who it belongs to.
Yeah.
Is immensely useful.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you expect it from your smartphone.
Yeah. I mean, you probably bought devices from Amazon or Apple or whoever that were pre-configured like that. Then it boots up and says hi to you, and you think that's greatest thing ever because it's a personalized experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, certainly we would like to get to a point where we can do that.
Yeah.
But not quite there yet. We're focused on the commercial side of things.
For sure. And especially, you know, I do think that even in the employee space, that my process of onboarding a new employee, provision them a machine, that machine, as soon as it gets started, knows it's yours and gets to work for you, is compelling too. And there's no reason why an onboarding experience can't be great.
And in the case where you do pre-configure a user for the device, so you've registered the device with Autopilot, it belongs to your organization, mm-hmm. and you take it that next step to say, it belongs to Annie at contoso.com, the device is going to boot up and say, welcome, Annie, here's your new device.
Love it.
So we can do that today in the commercial space. The nice part about that is you don't even have to type in your username. You just type in your password. Off you go.
Right. And you're good to go. And then right after that, you change that password.
Potentially.
Yeah. It's, you know, interesting dynamic, both of onboarding employees and onboarding the hardware for employees, especially now when with work from home being such a dominant concept. I'm really glad this product exists. It's exciting. And clearly in its early days, there's more to do.
Yeah. There's certainly more that we're actively working on. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we integrate Config Manager task sequence cleanly into this so that right. you don't have to redo your provisioning process all in Intune? I would instead like to be able to leverage what I've been using for the last several years, just taking out the image deployment pieces of it and leaving all of the OS configuration, app installation,
absolutely,
policy configuration, leave all that where it is today. So we're actively working on that to make that process smoother.
It feels like a modernization of PC deployment in the Windows world.
Yeah, while at the same time trying to meet customers where they are. So if you want to stay in Active Directory and not move to Azure AD, great.
Yeah, no, I love that.
If you want to continue using Config Manager and not move everything to Intune, great.
Well, and also, you know, that's what I'm laughing about the direct access and always on VPN parts is like, you mean the guys who are most bought in Microsoft, the ones who are going to struggle the most with the product? That's funny.
Well, we do at least know that the bulk of customers out there, like the number one VPN solution in use in the enterprise space is Cisco AnyConnect.
Of course.
So, yeah, that becomes the number one target, but.
Yeah, you solve most problems there.
We do want to validate that they work. We just want to make sure that it, at the same time, doesn't turn into a customer frustration and a support staff nightmare.
Yeah.
Where customers call in and say, hey, I've been trying to do this always on VPN thing and I can't get it to work. Can you help me? And that's our support team's biggest nightmare because there's so many different moving parts.
Yeah.
Where do you start?
Well, and one of the challenges you have there is all the Microsoft connectivity solutions like this, they're not just apps. They do have a deeper relationship into the networking stack and into Windows, which is why they're so slick when they work. But I got to think for you guys in the Autopilot world, it's tough.
Certainly. Like we've had lots of customers come to us and say, well, why can't you change the way Active Directory works so that it can authenticate users over the internet?
Yeah.
Like, do you know how long ago that code was written?
Yeah.
And the number of people...
Have you ever hung out with ADFS?
...even know what that code does anymore? Yeah. I mean, we're not sure that any of the people that wrote that code are still around.
Yeah. No, absolutely a problem.
Certainly, they are probably retired by now, but... it's difficult, and there's really not a whole lot of value to trying to rework Active Directory when we have this kind of longer term view that people are going to want to move more of this to the cloud.
Yeah,
over time.
Without a doubt.
They just don't want to be forced into it.
No, but it,
they will over time recognize that, yeah, we don't need an on-prem identity solution. No. We just need a cloud identity solution.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Active Directory Federated Services isn't supported in 2019. Like, it's just, you get it. These are the old ways. The cloud is the new way, and it's tough to justify trying to support those old ways anymore. It's harder and harder.
Yeah, lots of legacy.
Yeah, this is the baggage you have for being part of bringing the PC revolution to the world. You were there first. It's your fault. I blame you.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll start to see, well, I mean, you're already seeing with Android and iOS devices that they don't really tie in very well to that legacy world.
No, they don't.
But you'll also start to see other Windows devices that are in that same boat. I mean, there are some out there already, like Surface Hubs and HoloLenses and things like that, where they're really designed to tie into Azure AD.
Yeah, to the
be
modern.
Be managed with Intune. To work in a cloud environment.
Yeah. They are cloud first technologies.
Definitely.
And it definitely the sense is sooner or later the PC will also be a cloud first technology.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
There are customers who will go that direction kicking and screaming, but
without a doubt.
Eventually.
Michael, really enjoyable to talk to you about this. A compelling product. Glad to see it evolving. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.